Oh my gosh, look at us. It's the beginning of, well, it's really hour two, but it's 90 minutes into it, but it doesn't really matter. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer. That's Al Perkins. We do this every Tuesday night, like it or not. If you just are joining us, you just missed a replay of a two-year-old segment that we did where Al laments about how much he loves Natalie Cole. So,
God rest her soul.
Exactly. So if you've not heard that, it'll be posted online. You can listen to the end of the first hour and catch that 10-minute segment. It's enjoyable as hell. It's also available on the YouTubes because Kat Carlson posted that separately. Anywho, we got our headline hour starting right now, so let's get into it with a little news story, and it goes something like this. Well, generally speaking, love is for the birds, but apparently not for a gannet, which is a type of seabird that New Zealand conservation officers nicknamed No Mates Nigel, who until recently was the only bird of its kind on an uninhabited island of Mana. That is, unless you count the numerous decoys that they set up to lure birds like Nigel back to the island. Conservation officers put up 80 concrete decoys many years ago in an attempt to bring the gannets back to the island after they'd been gone for 40 years. It only worked on the one bird, Nigel. He showed up on the island back in 2013. He was the first gannet to land there in over four decades. He inexplicably, he inexplicably became attracted to one specific concrete decoy for whom he built a nest. He spent hours grooming her concrete feathers. Well, unfortunately, Nigel died last week, right next to the concrete object of his avian affection,
aww,
never having feelings returned from the concrete decoy.
The unrequited love marks. I feel like we did a story on him, right?
He just died.
No, but we did the story about him and the concrete.
Oh, I don't recall that.
I feel like we covered
him.
We
don't listen to this show.
Now, the Washington Post, who's been very popular in the media of late because they have a lot going on.
They have a lot to say.
They do. They dubbed Nigel the world's loneliest bird. The ranger who found Nigel's corpse said that the experience was incredibly sad and that this is just like the wrong ending to a story that he didn't want to see. Nigel had little interest in the real birds, instead spending time with his non-responsive decoy. Strange as Nigel's sad love affair may seem, it's believed he is the hero in his own bizarre way. His legacy was that he was the first colonizer, and if it turns out into a real colony, because other birds later did show up, he will always have been the first. It's because of Nigel that other gannets now know about Mana. Maybe in 6 months' time there will be a happy story to tell. Nigel's body was sent to Massey University so experts can determine how the bird died. So, that's interesting.
How does any bird die?
Well, they want to make sure there's no disease in the breed, something like that. not avian flu necessarily, but I don't know.
Do you have the bird flu?
Yeah, you got something.
What just happened?
I just sneezed.
I
would say it's the dry air, but it is misty outside.
I check out for 1 minute, and I come back, and we got a dead bird, an avian flu across from me.
Fortunately, the dead bird is...
And symptoms. We have a dead body and a symptom.
A lead pipe in the library.
Yeah, exactly.
I tune you people out for 1 minute.
Goddamn bird. Goddamn bird flu.
Is that the end of the story? Am I supposed to do something now?
Well, tell yours. Tell your story. Come on! Lady with the baby. Is it a jackal? Is it a jackal?
It's not
jackal?
A bird. It's a plane. In fact, New York City bound.
Everybody's got some place to
damn
be.
Damn it, you stomped on my Segway.
Sorry.
What? Would you like to try your Segway again?
Yeah, please do.
What are you doing?
Chocolate banana.
I don't know. God, Marnie's
it's a tight ship.
She's a distributor of food products now.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Oh, there's gummy bears, too.
Gummy X's and O's, as it turns out.
Jesus Christ. All right.
They're delicious. They are both soft and chewy. However.
Segue out of that. I love you like crazy!
Speaking of crazy, on a New York City bound JetBlue flight, they had to be diverted to D.C.,
why?
When an apparently drunk woman was flirtatiously touching passengers' heads, cursing at others on the plane, throwing snacks, busted out of handcuffs.
Wow.
They wouldn't let you on that plane.
That's never happened. Shh. I've never been.
Well.
Busted out of handcuffs? Was she in handcuffs?
Robin, I'm going to tell you the whole story.
Oh, good. That'd be great.
Robin Dorothy DeCore. who, according to other published reports, is from New York, was arrested after the midair rampage on a flight from the Dominican Republic to JFK that forced more than 100 fellow passengers to get off in Washington instead. According to the affidavit, Decor ordered 2 glasses of white wine, like you do.
Yeah. Just the 2.
From a flight attendant during drink service. She drank both glasses, then ordered another 2, not long
that
after.
Girl.
Right.
She had a coupon.
Downing altitude and alcohol. I'm
all gonna, 4 glasses in just 90 minutes.
Mm. Woo.
Atta girl.
I like her.
Uh-huh. That's a sensible pace.
Now, when
she could be on this show.
Fair
that
point.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, 4 glasses of wine in 90 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's not shake, even alcohol.
Why not?
Right.
A shake for dinner? She's
we
fine.
Call that Tuesday.
13 tacos.
However,
for lunch.
When the flight attendant cut her off, Decor began to curse and talk loudly. The attendant then noticed she was touching the male passenger next to her, who appeared to be uncomfortable. Afterward, according to the document, the attendant moved the fellow passenger, a move that angered Decor. Now she's drunk and angry.
God.
Then a doctor offered to sit next to the woman. Made it about 5 minutes before telling the flight attendant,
nope.
Not sitting next to
her. I thought
lady.
He was just looking for some hand touching.
She
that doesn't mean
was
it
not.
Says Decor's a whore.
That's funny.
Decor is a bit of a whore. Mm-hmm. The doctor told investigators that in the course of 5 minutes, Decor hugged her and cried about a family member.
Oh.
But she said that Decor's hugs were so tight that she was worried about being hurt.
Oh.
And decided to go back to her seat. That's on the doctor, who later said the woman was acting, quote, like a caged animal. Said Decor yelled at her, so Decor's yelling at the doctor, you leave me like everyone else leaves me. Just fucking leave. My mom left me, my husband
you
left me.
You don't know me.
Fucking everybody leaves.
So this way, should I take a cab back to
kinda, you're right.
Hey,
I like that everybody leaves her. They're trapped in a plane in the air,
right.
And yet they still leave
we
her.
We can only go 27, 28 aisles in either direction.
Well... As is protocol, flight attendants then tried to give her extra snacks and a bottle of water. Sure, because that's going to help.
You're sure?
Sure.
A loaf of bread would probably be best.
But the allegedly inconsolable passenger instead flung the bottle of water and food across the plane.
Oh, good.
I love the monkeys.
After that, attendants tried to restrain the woman with plastic handcuffs.
Oh.
She initially resisted, but then relented. She cursed and said, I hate my life. Oh. Nobody loves me.
Well, they all leave.
Because, well, I can't imagine, crazy bitch.
This is every straight girl in a gay bar.
Oh.
This is what this winds up
that's
being.
That's every gay
tale
girl.
Tale is
a gay
old
bar.
As time.
Yeah.
However, she managed to bust out of the handcuffs in about 5 minutes, called the flight attendant a fucking asshole, and kicked him in the leg.
Oh!
After that, another flight attendant was able to get her to calm down and restrain her, but the crew decided that for the safety of all the other passengers, they're going to divert to Dulles.
Mm-hmm. Now, and what was their original destination?
JFK. Oh.
From the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic to JFK.
What is it, a 30-more-minute flight? Come on, let's just go.
Let's see what else she can do.
Right, JFK, come on, let's go.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is no...
Free trip to D.C.
This is no small anecdote in her life.
Is there more?
Oh, yeah, no, there's there's a huge...
She flew from Maine to Washington one time. No, I don't know.
She is charged with interfering with a flight crew, and she faces up to 20 years behind bars if convicted for the federal offense, and is set to appear in court on Friday.
Don't throw water bottles.
And the fine is huge, too.
Yeah, sure.
The other passengers, however, were each issued a $150 voucher from JetBlue as an apology.
So one uncomfortable hug, and it's all over.
And, bada bing, bada boom, you got your next flight paid for.
There you go.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah.
That's exactly
she
right.
touched me.
Me too, me too.
How much was the voucher?
Yeah.
She touched me 3 times.
Yeah. I mean, I'll touch her if it gets me 2 vouchers.
Can I go to Anaheim?
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that going to get me to Anaheim?
I've been wanting to go to Knott's Berry Farm.
Speaking of me too, Marnie, you got a story?
I do like a nice apple butter.
What?
Wow.
For real.
Oh, God.
Well, when you think Knott's Berry Farm, it's either going to be preserves or apple butter.
Well, butter my biscuits.
Oh, that was nice.
So Joni used to love Chachi.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
but
dead.
Now nobody. Well, she's dead. Yeah, still dead.
I miss her like crazy.
No, you don't. Kill the cats. Do it. Kill the cats. But now, nobody loves Chachi.
Oh.
Which, for real,
did anybody his wife leave
who
him yet?
Still has like a Scott Baio thing, I had. That was, it was a thing.
You were eight, we understand.
I was eight, yeah. Correct?
Now it's just irrational.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He is a fucking pig. And like just stupid and annoys me. But, so you guys remember that whole thing with Nicole Eggert, which she was on Charles in Charge.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
And she says,
his victim.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, and I have proof. And then he goes on Facebook, right, mm-hmm. and does this rant.
Sure.
Because nobody can stop me and nobody can edit me if I'm doing this as a Facebook Live post, right?
That's Trump's whole thing.
Totally.
Yeah, 100%. Right? I'm going to connect directly with my people.
That's right. So that's what he tried, and then Nicole Eggert was like, oh, you're calling me a liar? Oh, that's interesting. So what I'm going to do is file a police report. And so she filed the police report against him, and I am thrilled. That would be my other obsession for this week,
mm-hmm.
because I'm thrilled that she did that. It
forces an investigation.
It forces an investigation. And now, granted, there's the 7 years, I believe it is.
Yeah, the statute of limitations.
Which is fucking ridiculous, but I digress.
Right. It may not hold up for child molestation because she was underage. So that might...
Oh.
Statutory rape.
Yeah, that might not fall under... It depends on how they go with that.
Even rape is 7 years.
Yeah, but it's different state by state.
Oh, okay.
So you never know. I don't know.
Would we be California then?
I think California, yeah.
Nicole Eggert reportedly has taken her complaints of molestation against actor Scott Baio to the police after she first made the accusations public a few weeks ago. TMZ reported that Eggert filed a police report claiming she was sexually abused as a minor on the set of Baio's show Charles in Charge between 86 and 90, between 1986 to 1990. Earlier, Baio had urged her to present her claims to the proper authorities. So she did.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
was like, good. You want to keep pushing? Mm. The outlet noted that, unlike in her previous claims, Eggert compiled a list of witnesses who said they observed inappropriate behavior by Baio during this time. Among the witnesses, and I don't know if you guys had heard about this, that Alexander Polinsky, he played Adam Powell, who was the younger brother on the show, that Polinsky reportedly went with Eggert to file the police report. And he stated that he had been... abused, not as far as molestation, but as far as physically assaulted by Baio and verbally assaulted. The law in California regarding the sex crimes committed against a minor recently changed. The new law, signed in September 2016, states there... I did not see that part. I always think there's a statute of limitations. It states that there is no statute of limitations for sex crimes against a minor... that committed after January 1, 2017. However, for crimes that date years before that, prosecution for the crimes of rape, sodomy, lewd, or lascivious acts,
lascivious ones
sexual,
are my
favorite. Yeah.
Right, continuous sexual abuse of a child, oral copulation, and sexual penetration, if committed against a victim who is under 18 years of age, may be commenced at any time prior to the victim's 40th birthday. It's interesting. Eggert is 46.
So the statute of limitations is them being 40.
Yeah.
That's what
it sounds like to me. So as previously reported, Eggert first came forward last month with a series of tweets alleging that Baio, now 57, that's weird, molested her from the time she was 14 to the age of 17.
And she has like anecdotal proof of telling somebody co-stars, else. Telling friends when it was happening. And the one incident, she was very graphic about it. I know the one thing that I read...
Where she was on his lap or something?
I can't remember all the details, but she actually like listed out what happened, and her friend was like, yeah, that's pretty much what she told me at the time.
Yeah, she's not making this up, but how many years later. So Bayo had come forward and said he had had consensual sex with her once, but only after she turned 18. He was quick to come forward with a denial of the accusations against him, first taking to Facebook Live, calling Eggert's credibility into question. These false claims are part of a regular pattern of making and then deleting outrageous and untrue statements. Weird, he told Fox News.
And I feel that she's been making these claims since the day, since back in the day.
Right, well, and it's a lot like Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Right? Where
he was complaining about abuse. This. Yeah.
And now, and then he went forward and filed the police reports as well. So anyway, yeah, he goes to his Fox News and bitches, and then Nicole Eggert, national television today, acknowledged that she had no answer to the fact that her court claim of having underage sex was proven to be untrue, according to Bayo. In a statement to TMZ, Bayo's rep said he's pleased Eggert has taken her claims to the police because he feels now she'll have to explain her ever-changing story. Neither of them responded to a request for comment. I just hope that it gets proven.
Yeah.
And that it's just... The thing is, though, in this day and age, it doesn't seem to fucking matter. Right?
Well, it depends on what side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
If you're a Trump supporter, then no, it doesn't matter. If you're on the left, then you lose your job, you lose everything.
Right.
It's a double standard of people, yeah. You know, Al Franken has to resign, Trump right. gets to stay president, the wife beater right. is a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, there's no accountability over there. Right. But the evangelicals just get more... Now evangelicals are on the side of wife beaters,
yep.
child molesters. Like, the list of things sure. that they are now
okay
pro...
With.
Yeah.
yeah.
You can, you know, have the baby, but then beat it.
Absolutely. Kick the shit out of yeah. it. Absolutely.
I didn't want to continue that thought because I was like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
Harrison, want to remember. I'm so with you. Just one thing after yeah. another. And for, I don't know, it really is surprising to me just how big of an ass.
Yeah.
And the other one who spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, Antonio Sabato Jr.
He was on The View late last week.
Okay.
He's running for Congress or something in California.
Probably Congress.
Really?
Yeah. He's running.
Wow.
And, you know, it's an interesting... it was interesting to listen to him because we've discussed, like, I'll be open yeah. to hearing whatever. And he, because Joy Behar was like, so you've kissed men, you've been with men. How's that playing with Pence? You know, and just kind of came out with just kind of going at him for the roles that he's played and different things. And he's like, well, I don't, bless you. He's, you know, I don't necessarily agree with those things. And I'm running. And he really sounded not as crazy as he did at the RNC.
Well, that's a whole level of crazy.
There's a shot of him from The mm-hmm. View right there.
Right, right. And he was...
There's a difference between standing in front of...
A rabid crowd.
Yes, a rabid crowd. Yes, yes. And then having to have a rational conversation.
Mm-hmm.
With women who are smarter than you.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to hear him. And Joy said something about, well, you're Italian or something, and he is Jewish? Like a Jewish and Czechoslovakian or something? Something like that. I mean, it was something, when he said it, it was kind of like, what?
I feel like we went to a weird place. I don't know.
No, but yeah. I mean, he was just, because he was talking about... as far as immigrants and everything that he's against, and so it was really, really interesting to kind of hear him. Certainly wouldn't vote for him if I lived there.
Yeah.
But you know, it just was interesting to
California has a job to do. They need to get Nunez out of office.
Oh, quick.
Oh, today.
Toot sweet.
Yeah, right, right.
Can't miss you if you don't leave.
Yeah. yeah.
So,
don't let the wall hit you in the ass.
Speaking of things leaving, a major South African city is about to run out of water.
Oh.
And officials say it would be the worst disaster since 9/11. So Cape Town, a coastal South African city of almost 4, million people, is about to run out of fresh water. After 3 years of persistent drought, the government is warning that day zero, when it will be forced to turn off most faucets, will be May 11th. My birthday. What a great present. Mm. That's when reservoirs and water sources are forecast to hit the 13.5% capacity, at which point the city is expected to move most residents to a strict water rationing system. As Cape Town's reservoirs of fresh water get dangerously close to dry, locals are beginning to store water in jugs and fill up at spring-fed taps set up by local breweries. Those who can afford it are boring mini backyard wells to collect private water stashes, and some hotels are investing in pricey desalination plants to make sure to make ocean waters drinkable. Now, we've talked about desalination mm-hmm. before.
And I'm saying April 11th, not May 11th.
Oh, this is from Business Insider.
Okay.
That says May 11th.
They may have moved it up.
Yeah, like they may be running out even faster. Yeah. Especially if people are starting to hoard.
Sure.
So there's just all kinds of photos of this drought. But I think we have...
We talked about the desalination before.
The desalination and the waste byproducts that it causes. But we have to look into that again.
Because there's another country that's doing it, like, and they're doing it. They do it daily, and they've got it down to a science. I know it's a science, but they've got it figured out. They made it economical. There is another country out there that's doing it, because I saw it on, I think it was a thing CNN did a segment on, or somebody did a little segment about it, and I'm like, wow, they got it figured out. Mm. But again, they kind of brushed over it. There may still be some side effects.
Oh, Israel.
Fallout from
it? Is it Israel that's doing it?
Israel's desalination technology is helping the world fight water shortage.
And they're doing the water math almost every day. It looks like they've moved it a couple of times. They said April 22nd, April 12th, April 11th. Like, so
it's moving up.
Like they're doing that math, and I'm sure people are. I mean, I would be. I'd be fucking hoarding the shit out of some water. I'd put water in any shoe that'll hold it. Right,
now there's military presence and water collection points.
I'd call sparklets, like, tomorrow.
50 liters a day. That's to go to the bathroom, eat.
Right, shower,
you know, go to the bathroom, clean, keep yourself clean. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a scary thing, and it's something that, you know, as the world is trying to go back to coal.
Clean coal.
Clean coal. Yep. We're going to find out that the thing that we're not fighting for is water.
Clean water.
Harrison said the water rationing is at 50 liters a day, and here's how many liters average things take. Flushing the toilet, that's 9 liters. Basic daily hygiene, that's 3 liters. A 90-second shower is 15 liters.
90 seconds.
Uh-huh.
That's shorter than our break between segments.
Doing your dishes and laundry, 18 liters. You need 2 liters of drinking water. If you got a dog,
per
you need
person.
A liter for the dog. Right, per person.
Per person. Mm.
Cooking, you're going to need about 2 liters of water.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. When properly recycled, there are uses for concentrated salt brine that comes from the desalination process. I mean, That's good to know, because I mean we're all on the verge of it.
Actually, one of the things that and I don't know if it's exactly the same.
We currently live in the desert.
But the what he's talking about, the salt brine, and I'm going to lose all of you with this technical part of this, but in your hospital, in our skyscrapers, big malls, they have what's called it's a chiller, it's a cooling or heating, it's a boiler, but those are closed loops. And the closed loops have it's almost what you'd call it's like a brine, or actually they call it a brine, but it is like a antifreeze, or it's got a lot of salt in it, so it won't freeze. So when they chill, because let's say you went through them at 70 degrees, that water is going to be a hell of a lot colder than 70 degrees to make the room be that. So they do use. I mean, I'm not saying that they use the brine that could come from that, but I'm just curious. If that's a byproduct of the desalination, could it be used in other areas?
Yeah, and you know it's coming everywhere. Sure. Again, we don't have a water source. Mm-hmm. We live in the high desert. Like, we rely on the Colorado River, which starts way far away.
Right.
And a lot of people take from it before it ever gets to us.
Right. Well, and then you've got the people in the lovely Los Angeles and all of Southern California that they're taking what we don't take.
Right.
It keeps rolling to the west. That wonderful water thing that they did back. How long?
And if we don't get, like, we're getting snow in the mountains right now, which is where, like, rain in Phoenix doesn't help our drought problem. It's got to snow in the mountains.
Oh no, we were in Sedona last weekend, and there's no reason it should be 75 in Sedona in fucking February with not a stitch of snow on the ground.
Right.
That's not a thing that should happen.
Yeah. Right.
You're
but
exactly
it's
right.
It was lovely because we were there for the day. But
right. Yeah. That's not everybody a thing wants 75, but you need the snow to the snow caps to stay.
Not a thing that should be happening.
You were talking about the water issue. I happen to see. I follow him on Twitter. I think I follow him on Facebook. I'm amazed with it. The kid, and we've talked about it before. He's a young kid. Like even if he's out of his teens, I'm going to be surprised. The kid who created the technology for getting the plastic out of the ocean, and they made the huge thing, and then they had to redo it because they figured out that it was taking, I don't know what. Flora? No, that may be wrong.
The flora.
Right, yeah, it was taking something else out, so they had to figure out how to not filter that out so it could go back into the water, but the plastic pieces could come out. Anyway, part of that whole group, there was actually a video that they released today that showed there's a group of five or six boats that they've got as part of a fleet that literally just does nothing but like circles in bays, and all that they do is they refilter the water as they're going through it. And I just thought it was so cool. And then they show the other team of them that they, you know, go up and down beaches and what they gather. And they show the beach. The beach looks like there's nothing on it.
Yeah.
And they spend a few hours, and then they have got a pile of shit from plastics and bags and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, the stuff that washes in with the tide, out with the tide.
The more I see that, the more I want to go help and do that. Oh, I just think it's the coolest thing.
Jenny and I will be in, right, Jenny?
I think that's just so neat.
Walk up and down the beach and pick the shit up.
And it's small. I've talked about it before too. In Baltimore,
that sounds fun. I'm in.
In Baltimore, they've got the thing called the trash wheel, which is a thing that they built that for the mouth of the bay. As the rivers come into the bay, it traps all of the trash and crap that comes in.
Isn't that almost like that suction thing where...
It's not a suction thing. It actually, there are booms in the water, and as the water flows, all the stuff kind of gets, you know, it floats into the mouth of this thing. Okay. It's solar and water powered, and it literally, they put a dumpster in it. Mm-hmm. It floats on the water. They put a dumpster, and it literally just picks the stuff up out of the water.
That's what I mean by suction, I think. Like, that it filters around and kind of circles down into it.
Yeah, it's very... No, I know what you're talking about. That's cool, too. Oh, I've seen that one, too. That's
amazing things,
But that is a surface thing in the water that the water just repeatedly goes in, and surface stuff skims off. It's like a skimmer from your pool. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, that's different, but that's cool, too.
This whole water thing and these natural disasters, this is what we should be focusing on, but Mike Pence is worried about gays getting married and, like, people are going to, like, go to the Supreme Court over who can bake a cake for who.
Yeah.
When, like...
There's real shit going on?
A major city is about to run out of water and teach the rest of the world what water rationing looks like before we have to do it here.
Right.
Because when that happens in Los Angeles and, you know, Phoenix, again, we live in a desert. We don't have a fresh water source.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be pretty.
It's not the same, but I keep advocating for I want one of those things on the canal because it's astounding. Again, here in Central Phoenix, if you look at a map
of
Phoenix...
That is our irrigation water. That's how we get our water.
You're not from here, Phoenix. If you look at a map of Phoenix, you'll see there's a canal called the Grand Canal that goes right through all of Central Phoenix, and that is our irrigation water. It is astounding how much crap gets thrown in... The canal, because people are just stupid. But how much floats on it at the end? Like, they have these the floodgates at the end of certain ones, and the stuff that backs up that they have to hire somebody that comes in and just cleans all that stuff up. I just it's amazing to me, and I would love to be part of something that was helping to clean that up. I think that's very it's just very cool.
I say that about people in like in jails. When they're trying to do something with what's his face that molested the all the girls and from the gymnastics team, get him a pool skimmer, chain him to something, let him skim out the canals.
Yep. Completely agree.
By the way, did you all hear that he was flown via private jet to his jail? I just saw that today. Saw that TMZ actually reported that. He was flown by private jet to the jail.
Who is he's Trump's?
He's actually going to have to be kept...
sequestered from
everybody
else.
Solitary for the most part. That's what they'll do because the rest of the population will kill him.
That's exactly fine. That's perfectly fine.
And from what I know about prison life.
From what? Oz? Watching TV?
Orange is the New Black.
Just take this from a lady's point of view and put it to a man. No, but because many of the people in prisons have been victims of
sexual
violence
thing.
As children, that when they find out that there's a child molester, that they take out their aggressions on that person of their own. Like, and it's one of those things that they've learned from the prison industrial complex is the weird ways in which they retaliate for things that were done to them. And it's an odd circumstance, but they do have to keep...
We've known of that for a long time.
Right, but I didn't know if people were aware of that fact that it's because of so many people in prison have been.
Because we used to talk about it was the fact that it was they were fighting for the kids, but really they're fighting for themselves.
Right, yeah.
That is an interesting perspective on that. Wow. Yeah. Never thought of it like that.
I think I saw that on Vice or something.
Harking back to Marnie's story for just a second, because I pulled it up on Wikipedia, because that's what you do here in the studio when you've all this technology at your fingertips.
We just sit here and Google shit.
When you have a valuable source like
Antonio
Wikipedia.
Sabato Jr. was born in Rome, Italy. His mother, Yvonne, she was born in Prague, former Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. so that's part of that. Mm-hmm. His father was an Italian actor born in Sicily, Italy. But his grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, so that's where the partial Jew thing comes in for him, because he's all of that. So he's got an interesting. I'd like to see his ancestry.com DNA profile. See what that
just like his DNA.
I'm not mad at him, except now I'm like, okay, you're an
just
idiot.
Don't talk.
It's gonna be a grudge fuck against a tree stump.
back to that. All right, back to that. All right. There's that.
It's a greatest hits episode.
It really is.
Oh God. Yeah. Well,
it's all the hits.
It's pretty good advice not to toy around with tigers, which is why police in Peterhead, Scotland, sprang into action.
You can ask Siegfried or Roy.
Probably more Siegfried,
I think. Wasn't he the one that got mangled?
Yes.
I know, but they both suffered.
Roy saw it all, sure.
He had to witness it.
Yeah.
The emotional toll.
What's that joke? It's harder for me to watch what you're doing than it is for you to do what I'm watching.
From the top.
It's harder for me to follow what you said.
Say what I'm following. You can do so much with it. Please, use it as your own.
Yeah. I
pray
often
continue,
do.
Tiger Man.
Tiger Bomb.
Is that a true PTSD then?
Which one?
Siegfried or Roy?
No, post-Tiger.
Yeah,
stress disorder. After this story, it might be.
She still gets upset when she sees a tilt-a-whirl. That's carnival stress disorder. Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
No.
Oh, good night, Harris.
There's somewhere there is a joke about. So we can't take your Aunt Martha to the circus. Why the tilt-a-whirl? There is some.
Just, story I'll go with the easy answer. Tilt-a-whirl.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know either. Bye, Harrison. Have a good night or week or whatever it is. Again, good advice not to toy around with tigers, which is why police in Peterhead, Scotland sprang into action a couple weeks ago on a Saturday night. Started with a local farmer, Bruce Grubb. Oh, by the way, when I read this story, and I don't think I can get through doing this. This is a story that I feel needs to be read like an old-timey news person.
Can you?
It's pretty good advice not to toy around with tigers, which is why police in Peterhead, Scotland sprang into action Saturday night.
I love it. More.
It started when local farmer Bruce Grubb called the Northeast Police to report a presence of a large, fearsome cat with stripes on his farm.
Goodness.
Quoting, he had stripes on his farm?
Yes. Quoting Mr. Grubb, quote, "I got the fright of my life," he told the Scottish Sun News chaps. The creature appeared to be crouched on a ramp in Grubb's barn. Officers immediately dispatched several vehicles, including an armed response team, to the farm. In addition, police contacted a nearby wildlife park to check to see if the tiger might have escaped. This according to the BBC. There was a 45-minute standoff before officers realized the tiger in question was just a giant stuffed toy. Inspector George Cordonall told the BBC he was happy how the responding officers handled the situation, emphasized that Grubb was not a prankster. The inspector concluded, "Our aim is to protect the public and keep our officers safe when faced with uncertain situations, especially those involving striped tigers. Until you know exactly what you're dealing with, every option must be considered." The Northeast Police...
Say it striped just once. Just say striped once for me.
The Northeast Police had fun with the call on Facebook a few days later, saying officers had a roaring shift with the striped monkey. Wasn't a monkey, tiger. In addition, UK Cop Humor, a Facebook page geared towards British law enforcement, had a lots of fun with the incident by posting pictures of people in striped tiger suits that claimed to be the negotiators for said animal. Now, here's a picture.
I didn't even care what the story's about.
I didn't either. That was really fantastic.
There's a picture of the stuffed tiger that
so
they
were. Striped tiger.
So lifelike.
Striped.
so
I don't know what happened in that story.
There was a tiger and a monkey, and they were
there was so, a tranquilizer dart. Yeah. The monkey, the tiger dressed up as a monkey at one point.
They were on a plane, and they were throwing water bottles.
I found this story, and I was sitting at my desk, and I started reading through it, and I started laughing, thinking, what I need is black and white film footage from, like, the 1930s.
Oh, my gosh, of a safari.
Yeah,
right, of a safari, and a man standing like this somewhere next to, like, a Land Rover.
Oh, my gosh, and, like...
It's like the guy from Up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, during Up, when they do the footage.
Someone needs to be wearing chaps. Please tell me someone was wearing chaps.
Like silent film style.
Right, something like that. But just the opening line.
The monkey playing the grinder.
The harpsichord is the music.
But that opening line, all I could hear was the old-timey news person. It's pretty good advice not to toy around with tigers. They sprang into action. And like you can just see, they spring into action and they cut to something springing into action. It made me laugh.
Wonderful. That's the most dedicated to an accent I've ever seen you be.
Yeah.
I know.
That's lovely.
Old-timey news guy. Yeah. That's it.
That's your
so
thing.
So we just need to stay away from,
That's his handle on farmersonly.com.
Yeah, there you go.
What, striped?
Yeah.
Old-timey news guy.
At farmersonly.com.
Oh my God, we solved the email problem.
Oh no, I've already solved it.
Old-timey news guy at ClaytonMcKee.com.
Available on Farmers Only.
.com. Speaking of...
It all started when local farmer Bruce Grubb called the police.
Well, but did you hear the one about the...
Two guys walk into a bar. Yeah.
Close.
But wait, there's more.
Close. Oh. Did you hear the one about the local pastor being accused of open lewdness and indecent exposure when found in a vehicle with a tied-up naked man?
Oh.
Can you do it in old-timey newswoman?
Was it a resurrection?
I cannot.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, here's the story. Officers were sent to the 800 block of Beachland Street. Around 11:30 p.m. on Friday for a report of suspicious vehicle parked outside a home. Mm-hmm. According to the criminal complaint,
exactly.
This car is a rockin'.
Don't come a knockin'.
Well, when the officers arrived on scene, they could see two men inside the vehicle. Two men.
Two things.
Police say one man, identified as 61-year-old George Nelson Gregory,
he was the one who had the cash,
was in the back seat. The other man was completely naked and bound with nylon rope in the front seat.
Wow.
That's not how that works.
Yeah.
They had just seen 50.
I don't want to tell them how to live their life, but I don't think you're doing that right.
Now,
50 Shades of something.
When officers asked what was going on.
50 Shades of Jesus.
The hostage said.
No, not the hostage. The man in the back seat.
Oh.
Said that they were just playing.
Cops and robbers?
And that he and the other man occasionally meet up from time to time to play with each other. Got the other man.
What the fuck?
You stripe it!
The other man grunted his consent around the ball gag in his mouth. Yeah.
20 bucks is 20 bucks. Yeah.
The hostage reportedly said 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Now, the man who reported the suspicious vehicle told police that at one point he saw the second man get out of the vehicle without any clothes on. And he was concerned because the car was parked outside his daughter's window.
Okay. So did she pay $20 too? Because she got a show.
Yeah. I like it.
This is going to be one of those stories where they both died tragically.
No,
and we're like,
No, nobody's dying. One of them's a pastor.
Remember when she did that story? When she did the story that we were all making fun of, and then they both died like horribly while they tried to save a baby from drowning.
That was in Tennessee or something. Yeah. Was that a great story with the saw?
Was that the one with the shovel?
Yes.
And
that's
chainsaw?
Literally the only thing I remember from that story.
That was a shovel.
A
fantastic story, and I laughed and I laughed.
Her preacher said, "Dang, I always
gotta
be the robber."
And I looked up, and the three of you are like this.
Well, the preacher says he was counseling the young man.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah,
with
counseling him
in his mouth.
With his drug problem, and it did turn strange.
Oh, it did turn strange.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But it wasn't his doing, okay?
Oh, my bad.
He was adamant that he's not participating in that way. So that's when the police pulled up, right then, when he was saying, oh, no, sir.
Oh, no.
Now that you're naked and tied up, I'm not into this at all.
I don't want this at all.
Oh, gosh.
I had a neck
on. Oh, my gosh.
You'd have a neck. nickel.
Yeah, exactly. That one nickel.
Oh, my gosh. He says, I won't deny that he was naked.
Ah. Oh.
Right. Okay. I won't deny that. Yes. I won't deny that he took his clothes off and propositioned me. But I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
Pray tell.
How'd you get in the back seat? How did he get tied up and naked? How did that happen? I have so many questions.
We know he didn't tie himself up.
Now, I feel like criminal mischief should be the charge for this one.
Well, according to the criminal complaint, they will both receive summons paperwork in the mail.
Oh. Oh,
I think that tied up guy should get a lighter sentence. Hasn't he suffered enough?
Right.
What was it? Lascivious? What's
lascivious act. No, oh,
that's right.
Is it lascivious?
Mm-hmm. Lascivious acts.
Yeah, those are my favorite kind.
Yeah,
they're good.
I mean, if you're gonna do it,
they're good.
Be lascivious.
Do you have anything lascivious to share with us?
Well, I have some quotes.
Okay.
Oh.
I have some quotes.
Ask not what your country.
That goes back to my obsession.
Okay.
Because they have already put out Adam Rippon's most hilarious quotes from the Olympics, parenthetically so far.
Oh yeah, because we got weeks to go.
We do. So,
a week, I think.
Adam's world-class figure skating skills already helped earn Team USA an Olympic medal. But he also deserves a gold medal just for being the most charmingly hilarious personality and interviewee at the Games.
And self-proclaimed America's sweetheart.
Absolutely. The 28-year-old openly gay athlete made his primetime Olympics debut on Monday, delivering not only a knockout performance on the ice, but also a couple incredible live interviews packed with enough wit, swagger, and Xanax jokes to instantly mint him America's sassy new sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
So to help bring you up to speed on some of his most memorable moments, here's a rundown of his most notable quotes from the interviews during the Pyeongchang, am I saying that right?
Pyeongchang.
Game so far. And let's see. On what and who drives him to win? There are so many emotions when I step on the ice. I want to represent my country to the best of my abilities. I want to make Reese Witherspoon proud.
Oh, we had a girl.
I do appreciate that.
Don't we all? Don't we all?
On who he owes his first Olympic medal to. I owe this medal a lot to Reese Witherspoon and my mom, but like more to Reese in a way, you know, because she has more followers on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
It's a fair point.
On what it's like to be at the Olympics. Andrea, it's like pretty awesome. I highly recommend it. If you ever have the option, like come to the Olympics. It's like a fun time.
Yeah. I saw that. That's what he said, Andrea.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I mean, he was doing a full on Ferris Bueller.
Oh, on how he's feeling.
If you have the means, I
highly suggest. On how he's feeling ahead of his next competition on February 16th. An exasperated inhale. Girl, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm at the Olympics. And you know I came to play.
He's what they had all those condoms for.
Oh my God. This was the one part of what I had sent. It's fucking hysterical. On what his nerves are like on the ice. Well, I want to throw up. I want to go over to the judges and say, can I just have a Xanax and a quick drink? I'll be fine. And the first thing he's going to do when he gets back home, I'm going to go to Target, and I'm going to get a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, Oyster Bay with the twist top. Yeah, immediately. You can come right over. I live like 15 minutes from LAX, and we can just have a day. My God, he's hysterical.
Wow.
Of course, if you've been paying any attention to his career up until now, you'd know Rippon has long been a quip machine who's not afraid to speak his mind. Here are some of the greatest quotes from before the games on his career resiliency. I'm like a witch and you can't kill me. I keep coming back every year and every year I get better. On his style evolution, I think that my fashion sense, like 8 years ago, I was trying to be like straight boy chic. So it was all sort of like a disaster. Anyway, he's on his tendency to procrastinate. I would say that I'm a hot mess all the time. I usually finish things in the last second. But I think as I've gotten older, I don't worry about it and I just rock it. If I forget to push something or to put something on and I have to wear a trash bag, I'm just like, I'm going to rock a trash bag today. I'm really go with flow, but I take things very seriously. I mean, he has like on eyebrows and on aging.
The eyebrows are a little bit much.
Well,
when I was 18.
Oh, they're saying that Reese Witherspoon, I guess, tweeted him back that she has got the message that he's a fan.
A fan. So oh, that's calm down. Fantastic.
And the opening package, when they were setting up the opening ceremonies, they had all these athletes do like they do for the Super Bowl, where they're like, they say their name and what school they went to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Florida
the
State.
The Ohio State. Uh-huh.
And they do all that stuff. So they had it, and they had all these different athletes say their name and what their hometown was. And it was like all these various, very serious, serious people. Mm-hmm. And they were all saying like Colorado, Utah. And all of a sudden he gets in and he's like, what's his first name?
Adam.
Adam Rippon. Scranton, Pennsylvania. And it was like, oh my God, it just went right into Beverly Leslie. But it just caught your ear so quickly. So the last 3 days at work, I just keep saying, Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He really is. He's a kick. Yeah,
he's adorable.
He really is.
Do we take 2 minutes and show the video that you posted earlier of him?
Oh, I would love it. Yeah.
Well, then let's do that quick. Hang on.
Sure. I have no problem talking about, you know, what I've said. Because I stand by it. But I think right now the Olympics are about Olympic competition and the athletes involved. I don't want to distract from their Olympic experience, and I don't want my Olympic experience to be about Mike Pence. You know, I want it to be about my amazing skating and being America's sweetheart.
Did Mike Pence do you a favor by elevating you to a place where you can reach out and talk to young struggling kids, as we talked about yesterday?
I think my hard work into getting to the Olympics did me a favor. I think I worked really hard to get where I am, and I didn't get to where I am for being gay or for speaking out on different issues. Mm-hmm. I got to where I am for working really hard. I think that me using my voice has given my skating a greater purpose of than just something that I enjoy to do. It's given me a voice to reach to young kids. I've gotten so many messages, and I could even get emotional thinking about it, but like I've gotten so many messages from young kids like all over the country that my story has resonated with them, and it's incredibly powerful, like this platform that you can have at the Olympic Games. And I've heard a lot of people like, whoa, Adam Rippon should tone it down and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I can't tone it down. I'm being me and I'm being myself, and I would be doing myself an injustice, and I'd be doing an injustice to those kids who don't feel like they're comfortable to be themselves.
Mm. Yeah,
Bravo. Kids on it. Yeah, seems to have
fantastic.
Aside from the his glitter bombs everywhere.
Yeah, right.
He's got his head together. Like he knows how to work the media, and he knows how to. He does. Like I said, he doesn't get blindsided by questions.
Sure.
He's got a focus.
Oh yeah.
And I love that. Like, he didn't even want to say Mike Pence's name.
Oh God, he said it like he was saying shit on my shoe.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Horrible for that.
Yeah.
But no, I enjoyed that. You have one more story, Mr. Perkins, somewhere hidden.
Thanks for showing
them. We're just going to go completely different with a cunt who got a PR person. Mm-hmm. So Louise Linton is back in a dishy new profile. So Louise Linton is the wife of Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who got caught in that shitstorm. Well, now it turns out that Elle Magazine is doing a profile on her to soften her image, sure, including like photos of her at home. And she wants you to know that she's the most honest person in Washington. Ask her if she's ready to leave town after Rocky Star and say no, she just finished decorating her house. We're supposed to believe that she's just like everybody else. She has a bird feeder in her backyard and she loves gadgets. And she has humility.
Sure.
Her husband says this about her, which is an essential point. Since Linton first burst into the public radar with an Instagram gaffe for the history books, not only did she emerge from a government jet in designer clothes, whose label she initially tagged in her photo, she got into a spat with a commenter who questioned whether such a display of wealth was appropriate. Linton was dragged through the social media mud for good reason,
mm-hmm,
Since she's apologized, but she still regrets now how she handled it. I was so stupid. I wish I could take it back, she tells Elle magazine. I wasn't thinking about who I am. I wasn't thinking. I am the wife of this person, and thus I should act like the wife of this person. It's just such an obvious ploy for a woman who wants to do something more. Like, she wants to branch out and use her marriage to Mnuchin and her, like, place in the Trump administration to go somewhere else. But she's already just a cunt. And so now she's hired a PR campaign. And I want to say fuck Elle magazine for doing this, like,
even entertaining
sexy,
this.
Soft-focused profile of, like, no. Now, like, Elle magazine, I didn't really hold you in that.
Don't give her a platform.
Yeah, I didn't hold you in that higher regard. But to give her the thing and not the woman who called her out on her bullshit, that's who you should be doing a profile of.
Right.
Of the woman who was like, no, bitch, you work for the American people and you just got off a private government jet hashtagging the labels that you wore.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's just something sickening about this. And she calls SoulCycle, the spinning studio, which peddles cardio and feel-goodness, along with $100 leggings and $50 beanies, which Linton is wearing during her interview, her temple. And she likes to listen to jazz music in her $12.6 million D.C. mansion, where she's... So I guess, now that I'm reading this, they're kind of, like, poking at her.
Sure.
Yeah. But that's, I think, the subtlety of that
Who's
sentence.
Who's the writer on that Elle magazine? Are you reading the Elle magazine?
No. Oh, this is Kate Bennett reporting on the Elle magazine article, kind of like reading about it. So,
It's a reporter reading a story from a reporter, right?
Okay, because there's a guy that writes for Elle magazine that is sarcastic and hilarious. His name is R something. Hang on, I'll find
him. Oh, right. Because I'm a follower of his on Twitter.
Yeah. And so I was starting to wonder if it was somebody like. Maybe not understanding the sarcasm.
Oh, that'd be funny, too.
That would be even better. Because what is his name? Is it it's R something Thomas?
How exactly Linton has curbed her lifestyle to adjust to being the spouse of a cabinet member is difficult to determine from this glossy feature, for which Linton, a Scottish native who lived for several years in Hollywood, poses in a white turtleneck sweater and little else, save a pair of $700 blue suede Christian Louboutin pumps. So, I don't like. It's just weird that she's hired this. But now we got to find this Elle article and find out if they're skewering her.
Yeah, probably so.
You would hope so. I mean, I don't know that much about Elle magazine to know whether I have an opinion on them. But I just
know the one writer. That's literally everything I know.
I just love the minute when you know someone has hired a publicist.
Right.
Like when you're reading something that just has that like, oh, God, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
There's such a filter on the wording. You know that person didn't say it.
Sure.
It's like when Dumbass reads off prompter.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
it's painful.
When? Everybody all making fun
time.
Of...
All the
was
time,
the State of the Union 2 weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. That they said that if read aloud by someone with an average reading ability, should have been over like 20 minutes sooner.
Oh, God. Just an average reading
ability.
Yeah,
that
you
made
know, the,
me laugh.
The interesting thing... Still, and I know that I said this a while back, but if it, with cat skills, like on the computer and just doing different things, if we could make Obama say everything that Trump says and just filter it out, like find a way to put it on Facebook.
Well, they'd hate it because it's a black man saying it.
Right. That's
regardless
just like,
of
to
what he
see
said.
The people...
That are so accepting of it.
So accepting of it and so okay with it. Mm-hmm.
If the words came out of somebody else's mouth, how would you feel?
Came out of anybody, a Democrat's mouth. But take it to a black guy and have Obama walking off that bus after grabbing some chick.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
Right? And just from point A to point dumb as fuck now.
Mm-hmm.
And just have him be the one saying it. I would just fucking love.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what are you going to do with
those
statements?
Well, I think you could go to Seth Meyers or Jimmy Kimmel and have Obama reads Trump's tweets.
There you go.
Oh.
And then just film them.
Sure.
Then just take out the teaser of what it is.
Sure.
And just put him in a suit next to like a presidential symbol and just see how Fox News reacts to it.
Him standing up there at a podium.
Because how many times did Fox News fall for The Onion and fall for that other one, the other paper that I fell for all the time, too? I can't really make fun of them because there was like three or four times. The one where I really thought that Michelle Bachmann actually went on a gay cruise.
Yes. No, I do remember
with Scott
that.
Or, yeah. No, yeah. Scott's
Marcus Bachmann.
Marcus. Uh-huh. Marcus.
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 Pennsylvania.
Stop it.
American sweetheart.
Oh my God, he's a delight.
Is he gay? I don't know. Ask him to say Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Ask him to dance. He loves to
Boston,
dance.
Boston, Massachusetts.
He looks great in a dress. There's a lot of S's in that what? Word. It's...
I weirdly don't know what's happening right now.
It's all right. Well, we're gonna once I do this, we're gonna be right back on track. We'll do this.
All right.
It's our tease.
So, because we are the show that handles the heroin crisis the best, we are gonna delve deeply into this topic during entertainment because I finally watched the Kennedy Center Honors like 3 weeks ago. If we haven't been on. Then we have the Directors Guild, the Writers Guild. I'm putting Bristol Palin into entertainment because I can.
Why not? Sure.
And there's one more thing on this list. Let's see if it comes up. And no, it didn't. Oh, we have a death.
Yes. There's that.
And wow, I was really sad about it because I wrote it twice.
All right. Entertainment with Al coming up right after this. Stick with us.
Oh, that's funny. You took my Schitt's
Creek. You're listening to You Talk America.
Educates. Single pace. Radio Commute.